All right, we're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're continuing our series on common versus normal. And if you haven't been here for all the sermons, let me just give you kind of a quick recap or explanation of what this series is about. We're discussing things that are very common in society. They happen a lot, but they are not normal. See, the world generally looks at something, they think if it's common, if it happens a lot, it must be normal. Like in today's world, you know, people marrying, a guy marrying another guy, or a guy basically committing, you know, sodomy, homosexuality, it's very common here in the Philippines. That does not make it normal though, just because it's common. See, 50 years ago, nobody thought that was normal. But now people think that's normal because it's common. So this represents what's normal, and what's normal is found in what is the Word of God, okay? There are certain sins and things that people do wrong that are basically, you know, they're sins, but they're still kind of normal things to do. But there's other things that are all the way over here that are not common, they're bizarre, they're wicked, they're weird. And the only way you would do that is if you're brainwashed by the world, or if basically, you know, you just want to rebel against God. And what we're talking about in this sermon is hair length. See, the Bible talks about all topics. There is nothing it does not talk about. And what the Bible teaches is quite simply this, that women are to have long hair and men short hair. That's what the Bible teaches. I mean, if you looked around this room, all the guys have short hair, all the women have long hair. This is natural, it's normal. It is not just something that we do culturally, it is born into us, and I'll prove that to you, okay? But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, notice verse number 1. Verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And so basically, the head of every man is Christ. Obviously, Christ is above us, but the Bible says the head of the woman is the man. In a marriage, the husband is the head of that home. That is what the Bible teaches, okay? It says that the head of the woman is the man. The husband's the head of the household. And the head of Christ is God. Obviously, there's one God. We believe in the Trinity. But there's an authority structure. That does not make Jesus less than the Father, but there's the authority structure. Just like women are not less than men, but there's an authority structure. And in a marriage, the husband is the head of that home. Verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. And so the Bible says that if a guy prays with his head covered, he dishonoreth his head. Now, some people wrongly assume this means that if you have a hat on your head when you're praying, you need to take it off before you pray. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, in most societies, people do that because they think that's what the Bible teaches. They say, well, you can't have your head covered, but it's not referring to wearing a hat, okay? Right. It's not wrong for a guy to pray with his hat on. The Bible doesn't teach that. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you want to take off your hat, that's fine. I understand that I grew up, and when you prayed, you just take off your hat, and you know, you pray. That's not what it's referring to with his head covered, though. You say, how do you know that? Go to verse 15. Verse 15. Remember in verse 4, it talks about your head being covered. Verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So what is the covering that's being referred to? It's referring to your hair length. See, a woman's covering is her hair length. And when it mentioned in verse 4 about a guy having his head covered, it's saying it's a shame for a guy to pray with long hair. Okay? And so that is what it's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Very simply, that women are supposed to have long hair and men are supposed to have short hair. Notice what it says in, go back to verse 4. Verse 4. So it says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. And so basically, you know, prophesying is basically preaching. Let's say, for example, you know, we're having a special outdoor service. Look, it's pretty hot outside. I might wear a hat, okay? Because I'm trying to shield myself from the sun. But what I'm not going to do is basically grow out my hair and then preach like that. Why? It's a shame. I'm dishonoring God, the Bible says, if I pray or prophesy having long hair, having my head covered, it dishonoreth his head, okay? And so I want you to see point number one, when it says dishonoring your head, it could have a dual application, but I believe it's saying you're dishonoring Christ, because the head of the man is Christ. You're dishonoring God. So if you want to honor God as a guy, have short hair. As a woman, have long hair, okay? Now, all the men in this room, all of us have different lengths of hair, but nobody would you look at and say, well, he's got long hair. We all have short hair here today, okay? I think it's very obvious. Now, the first point is quite simply this. Why do you have your hair at the proper length? To honor God, to honor God. Verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. And so the Bible says that if a woman prays with her head uncovered, if she has short hair, she does not have long hair, she is dishonoring her head, the Bible says. Why? Because of the fact women are supposed to have long hair. That's what it teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Women are to have long hair. And what it says after dishonoreth her head, for that is even all as if she were shaven. Basically, if she's going to have short hair, she might as well just shave it all off, is what the Bible's saying, okay? If you're going to have short hair, just go all the way. Now look, a woman shaving her head is not very common. You say, why? Because everybody would look at that and say, man, that looks bizarre. Right. You know, it's not right. Now, it's pretty common with the LGBT, right? I mean, women that are part of the LGBT, they have short hair all the time, and you can see that's not something that's normal. Okay. Now in our society, it's not really that common for basically women to have short hair and men to have long. But I will say that everything that happens in the U.S. is going to happen here just 20 years later. That's the way it works, because my home country brings the sin into the Philippines and to every country worldwide, because they are the end times Babylon. And let me tell you something. We're living in a day where 20 years from now, you're going to see it very common now for women to have short hair and men to have long hair. And I'm not just talking about people that are bakla or tomboy. I'm talking about just normal people in society. And why? Because they're getting brainwashed by the world. People think it's cool now. They think it's normal. Verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Now, shorn is referring to like you shear a sheep, which means you cut off all the hair of the sheep. Sheep shearing is what they call it, okay? Shorn or shaven, it's referring to basically cutting off all her hair. If she's not going to obey God's rules, then just go all the way and just shave it all off, is what the Bible's saying. Okay, it's saying if you're just not going to obey me, then whatever, just shave it all off then. Okay, if you're not going to obey what the Bible says. So quite simply, point number one is we have the proper hair length to honor God. You say, but why is this? Look, this is just what the Bible says. Right. You don't have to always understand why the Bible says something. If it's plain as day and God tells you to do something or he tells you not to do something, just follow what the Bible says. Okay? Now, look at verse number 7. So point number one, we do this to honor God. But point number two, we do this to represent God correctly. We do this to honor God, basically because we respect him, but we also want to represent properly, okay? And I'll show you what I mean by that. Verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. See, in verse 7, the Bible says that the man is the image and glory of God. The Bible does not teach that women are the image of God. It says man is the image of God in verse 7. Since man is the image of God, and God, you know, we'll see later on with Jesus. Jesus did not have long hair, okay? But when we're trying to represent God, men should have short hair to properly represent. And women, since they're not in the image of God, they should not be representing that. They should have long hair so they don't look like the pictures of Jesus out there that people have, okay? Because that is not what Jesus looked like. Verse 8, man is meant to represent God. Verse 8, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Obviously, we know Adam was created first. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Women were created to be the help meet for the husbands. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? Two people find each other, they love each other, they get married, and the wife is meant to be the help meet, the Bible says, okay? Provided for that specific husband, okay? Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And so the Bible teaches that man is the image of God and not woman. Now, there are some cults and crazy religions that try to say, you know, that women are also in the image of God. Okay, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And what they'll do is they'll go back to Genesis chapter 1, because I was talking to one of these cults when we were in Quezon Memorial Circle, and then they took me back to Genesis chapter 1, and when I looked at it, it's like, well, that's not teaching what you're saying it's teaching. But they'll go to Genesis chapter 1, and notice what it says in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And I understand man can represent mankind, but you're going to see in these passages very clearly, man is the image of God and not women. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, okay? Man is created in the image of God, okay? In the image of God created he him. Right. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Both men and women are created by God. We are all God's creation. But if you look at verse 27, it says, in the image of God created he him, not them. Right. So it's very clear in verse 27. And this is the verse they took me to. It's like they took me to here to Genesis chapter 1. They said, because I was curious and I asked them, like, you know, what do you tell people out? Because they believe in a mother God and all these weird things. Like, what do you tell people? I'm just curious. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, there's a mother God. And then I said, where does the Bible say there's a mother God? It's like, you know, they're worshiping the queen of heaven too. Okay, there's no new thing under the sun. And they go back to Genesis chapter 1, and they took me to verse 27. And then all of a sudden I was just like, are you kidding me? It says, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So the Bible's clear in verse 27 that men are the image of God, and we're all God's creation. Women are not the image of God according to the Bible. Why? Because of the fact, you know, men are supposed to have short hair. There's a difference between how men and women look. And we live in a society where basically everyone's supposed to look the same. Everybody wears the same clothing, the same hair length. You know, everybody puts on makeup and lipstick, I guess. It's like, let's just make everybody look the same and just act the same and just do the same jobs and the same roles. And if we can create it, we'll have men giving birth as well. You know, we'll have women out there, you know, welding and doing these jobs that are super dangerous. Let's just make men and women the exact same. That's foolish, because God made men and women different. Amen. He didn't make men better than women. He made them different. There's just clear differences between men and women. Look, men are stronger than women. It's obvious. If anyone wants to argue that, then you're just being bobo. That's ridiculous. Men are stronger than women. Let me tell you something. If your wife's stronger than you, you need to start doing some push-ups. You need to start drinking some creatine or whatever to put on some muscle. I don't know. You got to do something, okay? Because look, the way it works is men carry their wives over the threshold when they get married, okay? The wife doesn't carry the husband. Why? Men are meant to be stronger, the protector in the family. That's just the way it works. I was in a college class, this communications class, and it was one where you're supposed to try to argue and debate, and it was done online though, so you never actually were in person with these people. And it was one of these where they'd bring up all these controversial topics, and I realized that I've got to be very careful with my opinions, because society doesn't really like the opinions of the Bible. And the topic came up about, you know, why is it that men tend to be taller than women? Why is it that men tend to be stronger than women? And there was girls in the class that were arguing, well, I don't believe that men are stronger than women. It's like, what in the world? You're just being, let me say this. Did you know that women live longer than men? My job when I worked in Maryland was on pensions. It was on retirements. Women live longer than men on average. That doesn't mean that every woman lives longer than every man. But in general, men have a higher mortality rate. They are more likely to die at every single age of life. It is more likely that a boy baby will die at the age of one than a girl baby. In fact, babies when they're born, male babies are like three times as likely to die in the first couple weeks than female babies. They're much more fragile in that way. That does not change the fact that they also become stronger, okay, in terms of physically lifting weights, okay? They're just stronger. And so there's just differences between men and women. And so I had this class, and then they were trying to talk about this, you know, why is it that men are taller? And one of the theories that's out there now, which this is how bizarre evolution was when it first came out. People thought it was crazy and stupid. They are teaching now, this is one of the theories, that the reason why men become taller than women is because they're trained at a young age to believe that men are supposed to be taller. So psychologically, women become shorter because they're taught that basically they're gonna be shorter. And so they become shorter and not as strong and just magically give birth because just they were taught that at a young age, that's just what's gonna happen. It's like, man, how stupid do you have to be? And I promise you, the person who came up with that stupid theory has a very high IQ. I'm sure they would do really well on a calculus exam. It's like, but they're like the dumbest person you'd ever meet in real life. It's like, what a stupid theory. But anyways, in this class, they're basically arguing about this point. And I gave just like a generic answer, and I just said, well, you know, men and women are created different. Men are just stronger than women. And then this girl was arguing. She says, well, I disagree with that because my senior year of high school, you know, the field goal kicker on the team was a girl. And, you know, that was the best record they ever had as a football team that year. It's like, wow, you know, one of the players on the football team was a girl, the field goal kicker. It's like, let's see her be a linebacker and get hit. It's like, look, that's ridiculous, okay? Obviously, and this is not to demean women, but men are stronger than women. There's just different roles. Look, let me explain something to you that are newly married, that are gonna have kids in the future. If you tried to reverse those roles, the husband would do a much worse job of taking care of that child at a young age. Not just in terms of feeding that child, but in terms of taking care. Why? Because guys are just not designed that way. Guys are not designed to nurture their kids in the way that moms are. Look, babies, when they're born, they love their moms a lot more than their dads. That's just the way it works. We were created different. That doesn't make women better than men, doesn't make men better than women. There are just different roles. And let me tell you something, God cares about our image as well. And we are meant to represent God in the proper way. And men are created in the image of God and not women, according to the Bible. Okay, and so men are supposed to have short hair, and that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 11. Why? Because in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. He said, but wait a minute, but Jesus had long hair. Well, we'll talk about that later on in the sermon, okay? Verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I believe power on our heads probably referring to the hair being the covering. And, you know, the Bible talks about angels not being able to look into these things. They don't understand everything. And I think it's meant to say here that to give the angels the proper perspective on with men having short hair. I could be wrong on what that verse is talking about. But the Bible says women ought to have power on their head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. So the Bible just clearly states that basically men are supposed to have short hair and women long hair. That's what 1 Corinthians 11 clearly says. There's really no argument. Now, there are some people that try to argue it, though. And they will go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Because the first point we had is this, that we have the proper hair length to honor God and to represent God accurately. Women are not meant to represent God accurately in terms of image, okay? Men are. And then thirdly, I want to talk about here today is about nature teaching us. Because what it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14 is this, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. What the Bible says in verse 14 is nature teaches us that men having long hair, it is a shame, right? Okay? So here's the thing. People see this word nature, because this is important for us to know. What is this talking about? If nature teaches us, what is this referring to? And people look at this verse and they say, well, Mother Nature teaches us. They say, look at the animals, and the animals will teach us that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Now, let me say quite clearly, it still says the second half of this verse, it's a shame for a guy to have long hair. But what people do then when they try to argue this is they say, well, look at the lions. Okay? And I've actually got this article from the Rastafarians, the ones that like to smoke weed and they never, you know, wash their hair and everything like that. And they believe Haile Selassie is God on earth who appeared to them. He's from Ethiopia and everything. But they've got this article of why they say, you know, well, when it says it's a shame for man to have long hair, it's not what you think it's referring to. And they say, nature teaches us, okay? And they say, well, look at the lions. And they'll show a picture of a lion. Because here's the thing, lionesses, female lions, they have very short hair, right? If you know a lioness, she has very short hair. And a male lion, he's got that long mane. He's got a lot more hair than the woman. So they say, well, look at the lions. Well, first off, that is one animal. Okay, that's not every animal. You looked at one animal and you say, well, this animal has long hair. But I want you to understand something. When it says, doth not even nature itself teach you, that is not referring to the animal world. It's not referring to Mother Nature. And I could understand if somebody briefly looks over that verse and doesn't look this up in the Bible. This is why you compare spiritual things to spiritual, as the Bible says. When you're trying to find out what does the Bible mean by nature, what do? You look up the word nature throughout the Bible and you'll find out, oh, this is what it's referring to. Because I could see if you just briefly look over that, like, okay, nature's teaching you. But look, there'd be a big problem with that interpretation. Because with the Rastafarians and everyone, the women will still generally have, because generally in societies, either they both have short hair, men and women, or they both have long hair if they want to rebel against God. You will never see societies where the man has long hair and the woman has a shaved head. Okay, they never go to that extreme. So if you want to look at lions and lionesses, I guess you're teaching women should have short hair then, and men long hair. But with the Rastafarians, the women don't have short hair, okay? So they're not really following that to what their logic is. But what does it mean by nature teaches us? Well, go to Romans 1, Romans chapter 1. And let me say this, nature appears 11 times in the Bible. So it doesn't take that long to look it up and find out what does it mean by nature, okay? And so I'll show you, this has nothing to do with Mother Nature or the animal world. That's not what it's talking about, okay? And let me tell you, look, we can't look at animals to determine what we should be doing or what we should not be doing, okay? Because the Bible calls sodomites animals, okay? And it's like, you know, look, I'm not a hyope, okay? It's like, you know, you don't look at animals because animals do a lot of disgusting things. You look at what dogs do and yeah, you know what? And this is how they try to defend sodomy. They say, well, look at the animals. You know, dogs sleep with whatever. It's like, yeah, that's an animal. It's like, yeah, a dog will sleep with whatever, male, female, they don't care. Yeah, that's an animal. We're not animals. We don't believe in evolution, okay? We believe we were created by God. In the image of God created he him, the Bible says. Romans 1 verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. I want you to notice how natural and nature are spelled very similarly, because it's referring to the same thing, okay? It says, into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And see, the Bible talks about women leaving, the men leaving the natural use of the woman. What's that referring to? It's referring to guys are attracted to women. Men marry women. Adam married Eve, not Steve, my friend. Okay? It's like men marry women, women marry men. The natural use. Guys are attracted to women. That is how you're born. That is how you're created. Males are attracted to females, and females are attracted to males. And if anybody wants to say, well, no, any sodomite out there, no, from a young age, no, you weren't. You're lying. Okay? Look, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? People that deny Jesus, they'll lie about whatever. Men were designed to be attracted to women, and women were designed to be attracted to men. That's the way it works. And if you don't feel that way, you're going against nature. The Bible says the natural use. And when it says nature, what it's saying is it's in your nature, your personal nature. You're just built that way. My parents did not have to teach me at a young age, hey, when you grow up, I want you to marry a woman and not a guy. It's normal, it's natural, and the only way you'll be against that is when you get brainwashed by this bizarre world over here that is not normal.
Right.
Yeah, it's very common, it's not normal. And look, you don't have to teach your son at a young age, hey, I want you to marry a woman. That's what he's gonna do when he grows up, unless he becomes bizarre and wicked, goes against the Bible. Because it's normal for a guy to be attracted to a girl and a girl to be attracted for a guy. So differences at a young age, boys are interested in different things than girls. That's just the way it is. They're interested in different things because they're created differently. You say, how? Why is that? Because this is just part of your personal nature. It's natural to you. Turn to Romans 2. Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. And look, the reason why people would disagree with what I'm preaching now is because we live in a very bizarre world. Right. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of sodomy. It's like, how does God feel about it? Well, I mean, read the Bible. Read Genesis 19. Read Judges 19. Read Romans 1. It's like, I'm just quoting to you Bible verses and explaining, and it's very obvious this is what it's talking about. It doesn't matter how common these things are. That doesn't make it normal. There's a lot of really bizarre things that are very common in societies. It doesn't mean it's normal, okay? We would look at certain societies and the things they do and we'd say, that is bizarre. In the Bible times, as we talked about, many people would marry multiple wives. Now, we'd look at that as being bizarre, and it is. It's wicked. It's weird. But people felt it was normal back then because it was common. Just because something's common, that does not make it normal. Okay, Romans 2 verse 14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Notice how it says do by nature the things contained in the law, representing your conscience. In your conscience, you know certain things are right and wrong, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Did you know that kids, when they're born, they realize it's wrong to kill? They realize it's wrong to lie? They realize it's wrong to steal? They realize these things. Now, they'll still do those things because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and they'll be dishonest and they'll steal, but they know it's wrong. It's part of their nature. It's built into them. You don't have to teach them. Now, we should still teach them and enforce these things, but look, your kids at a young age, they know these things are wrong. Look, a baby is like the most innocent person in the world. And when they see somebody hurt or in pain, they feel really bad. They will cry at a young age when they see somebody that's in pain. They're really worried about that. You say, why? Because that's just born into them. They have emotions. They have a conscience. They have a personality. These things are born into them. And they know from a young age it's wrong to lie. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to murder. And that's why the Bible says here in Romans 2 that the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. What is it saying? It's saying the average person out there that is unsaved, they will still obey a lot of the things of the Bible because they know that's what's right to do. They won't just go and just kill people and just rob. And people that do that, they're living really sinful, wicked lives. And they know that's wrong. Why? It's part of their nature. It's part of their conscience. It's written in their hearts, according to the Bible. That's part of their personal nature. What does that have to do with 1 Corinthians? We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 11. What does that mean? Here's what this means. When the Bible says, doth not even nature itself teach you, it's saying that you are taught when you're born, it is built into you that guys are supposed to have short hair and women long hair. If you look up what nature means, that is what's referring to. You say, well, I thought the only reason why guys have short hair is because society is telling them to do that. Look, you know from birth that it's right for guys to have short hair and it's right for girls to have long hair. You say, prove it to me. Well, let me just give you a logical proof. Does anybody want to stand up here and argue that women are more attractive with a shaved head? No one's going to argue that. Why? Because God created them to have long hair. Everybody knows that. Every guy in this room is going to say, yeah, you know, women look better with longer hair. You say, why? Because God created it that way. Amen. He created it that way. And so look, it is born into you that you just see the picture. Yeah, it makes sense. Guys have short hair and women have long hair. You say, well, why is it that some societies aren't doing that then? I mean, you look at a lot of societies that are heathen. Let me tell you something. When you look at the native religions of various countries, whether the U.S. or the Philippines, before any sort of Christianity is in there, and they're worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars and the ground and everything like that, they're very heathen societies. Okay? Look, I've said before, you know, it's like Magellan was wicked for coming in here trying to take over the country. But let me tell you something. You say, why is it that Lapu-Lapu and those men had long hair? You want to know why they had long hair? Because they were either brainwashed by society or they wanted to rebel against God. You say, why? Because by nature, it's born into you that you're, as men, you have short hair and as women, you have long hair. And the reason why people don't follow that is because of the fact they get brainwashed by the world. Look, what we're talking about is certain things are very common, and it causes people to go against what they know is normal and right. And then they start thinking, maybe it's not that weird because it's so common. But look, this is just born into you. And I understand people that don't believe the Bible, they would want to argue with me. But, you know, it is what it is. That's what the Bible teaches. This is born into you that, you know what, men are supposed to have short hair and women to have long hair. It is born into your nature. It's born into your conscience that you just know those things. And when people go against it, they're either being pressured by people, or they're going to want to rebel against God, or they're just being brainwashed by the world. And in today's world, most everybody's being brainwashed on how men and women are supposed to be different, okay? It is just born into you. You say, how do you know that? According to 1 Corinthians 11, that's what it says. You know, why do you think it is that the LGBT that wants to rebel against God and hates God, why is it that they're the ones that are gonna break this rule of what the Bible says? Because they are intentionally trying to rebel against the God of the Bible in their hearts. They're trying to go against it. They're trying to be against nature intentionally, okay? But it was born into them as a baby that men are supposed to have short hair and women have long hair. And I don't care if people disagree with it, that's what the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 13. And you say, Brother Stuckey, you know, about saying, you know, how can you say that, you know, women are more attractive with long hair? Actually, the Bible teaches this. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Judge in yourselves. I'm preaching to you this. Judge in yourselves. Decide for yourself. Is it comely? Is it comely to look at that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Is it comely? Does it look good when a woman has short hair? That's what it's saying. Is it comely to look at when a woman prays uncovered? No, it's not. Yeah. Women having long hair are more attractive. That's what it's saying. So it's like you say, well, you know, that's what 1 Corinthians 11, verse 13 is saying. Is it comely that a woman praying to God uncovered? The answer to that, no, it's not. Right. Okay? Women are supposed to have their head covered. They're supposed to have long hair. And look, they look more attractive with long hair. That's just the way it is. Okay? Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Let me say this, that when it comes to, as we talked about recently, about dress standards, and we talk about clothing standards and hair length, because we talk on it about everything. I want to make sure we don't miss anything in the Bible. And let me say a strategy I've used with like relatives or people I kind of knew when I was younger. Because, you know, it's not just the fact the Bible tells you to do this. Women do look more attractive with long hair and a dress.
Right.
It just is what it is, okay? And I remember when there was people that I knew in my family, and it's just like whenever they'd wear a dress, I'd be like, you look so beautiful today. I was just trying to compliment them so that way they'd be more likely to wear it, you know, more often. And it's just like, you know, but this is what the Bible teaches. And, you know, it's not just my opinion. Well, that's your personal opinion. You just find women more attractive if they have long hair. That is what 1 Corinthians 11 said. That's what the Bible teaches. You say, why is it? That's just built into you. Everybody knows this. It's built into you, okay? Verse 16. So what we saw here today so far was that we need to honor God. We need to represent God correctly. And we talked about what does it mean to be by nature do those things. And nature teaches us. It is inborn into you, okay? Even without a Bible verse, it is just born into you that men are supposed to have short hair and women have long hair, okay? But then people just basically disregard the entire first 15 verses, and they'll go to verse 16, and they'll be mad at you for preaching a sermon like this. They'll say, well, wait a minute. Verse 16 says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. And they say, well, see, verse 16, if anybody is upset at you preaching this, just you don't have any custom of this, just disregard everything I said. None of it applies if there's anybody who disagrees. Look, there's at least someone who disagrees with every single thing you will ever preach. And it's like, if we're, okay, somebody's upset that we sing the old-fashioned hymns. All right, we'll do the rock and roll. No problem. We'll quit the old-fashioned hymns. You don't like the King James Bible? No problem. No problem. We'll just go to the NIV. No problem. The sermons are too long. Hey, no problem. We'll shorten them. No big deal. Okay? Soul winning is too intense. Okay, we'll quit the soul winning. We'll just do whatever you want. Is that what it's saying in verse 16? If anybody disagrees, well, we have no such custom. Just disregard everything I said in the first 15 verses. That's not what it's saying. Let me explain something to you. In the Bible, of the epistles written to the various churches, which was the worst church? Church of Corinth? This is the church of Corinth here, 1 Corinthians 11. They had all kinds of problems. They had strife in their hearts. They had cliques. They had bitterness. They have a guy sleeping with his father's wife. I mean, they had a million problems, okay? And if you're messed up on one thing, you're probably going to be messed up on everything. They had so many problems in their church. What is he saying? He's saying this. If any man seem to be contentious, if anybody wants to argue, if anybody's angry, basically let them know we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. What he's saying is, look, every single church, bona fide church, men have short hair and women have long hair. There's no custom in any other church, Corinth. What is wrong with you, Corinth? That's what he's saying. There's no such custom in any bona fide church of men having long hair. What is wrong with you, Corinth? That's what he's saying. He's saying we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. He's saying we've never told you that men can have long hair, women short hair. Neither the churches of God. Ask any other church. Ask even the church of Galatia that was messed up on salvation. Ask the church of Ephesus or the church of Thessalonica, and we could walk into that church 2,000 years ago, and you know what you'd find? You'd find men with short hair and women long hair. How do you know that? Because none of the churches of God had any custom of men having long hair and women having short hair. And let me just explain something, because I could understand, you read over verse 16, it could be a tricky verse if you just read it by itself. This is why you don't just take one phrase and just say, well, I guess I'm wrong about everything. Right. Man, I don't know how to answer that verse on salvation. Maybe you do have to be baptized to go to heaven. No, you don't allow one phrase that you're confused on to basically disregard everything in the Bible. What you do is you look at that phrase, you think about it, and you ask God to help you if you're not sure. And I used to be confused on this verse. I was like, what exactly is this talking about? That is what it's talking about. If anybody wants to argue in the church of Corinth, look, there is no custom. We've never taught you this. We've never said it was okay for guys to have long hair. Neither any of the churches of God. Every church is just following what we say. Why? Because this is part of just basic nature. And the church of Corinth was doing a lot of wicked things, just going against nature. Look, I can tell you this. Not even looking at a Bible verse. The church of Corinth, born into them, they would know it would be wrong for a guy to sleep with his father's wife. Amen. That is just born into you, but they're rebelling against what nature is teaching them, what their conscience is teaching them, and they were doing the same thing with hair length as well. They were doing the same thing with communion and everything, just disregarding everything the Bible said. That's what it's saying there. You know, no custom. What it's saying is there's no custom in any church to do these things. Only you, Corinth, is messed up on this, okay? So one objection people have to what I preach is this. Well, it says if there's anyone who disagrees, then there's no custom. You know, forget about it. We'll just change every church and just do what you want. Wear what you want. Look how you want. Listen to the music you want. That's not what it's saying, okay? Turn to number six. And so number one objection people have is this. Well, if people are contentious, should we just avoid preaching it? And you know what? Isn't that how most churches operate? If something is controversial, they just don't preach it. Hey, if anyone's contentious, no such custom. We'll just avoid preaching it. That is how almost every church operates. That's not how we operate. Because the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, which means hold nothing back. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Which means if there's a specific sin or transgression or problem, that's what you should be preaching on. You say, why? Because of the fact you have to deal with the certain problems in your church. Okay? Right. So number one, people say, well, if people are contentious. Number two, they'll say, well, Samson had long hair. Okay? Well, yes, you know what? Samson had long hair. Okay? First off, just because somebody had long hair doesn't mean it's right for guys to have long hair to begin with. But why did Samson have long hair? Number six. And Samson also took a prostitute. Okay? It's like, so what's your point? Samson did a lot of things. Just because he did something, Samson also committed suicide. Okay? Does that mean that everything he did was right? So wait, he had long hair. But what does the Bible teach here in number six, verse one? And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. The Bible speaks about a Nazarite vow, okay? When either man or woman, what is a Nazarite vow? Verse 3, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. And so what that's saying is basically no grape juice, no wine, no grapes. You can't eat any grapes. You can't eat anything where it says in verse 4, from the kernels even to the husk from a vine tree. Okay? Verse 5, all the days of the vow of a separation there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. So the Bible says here in verse 5, this, that he should let his hair grow. No razor should come upon his head, okay? Now, the reason why it specifically says about the guy not having a razor upon his head, because if you remember, going back to verse 2, it says, when either man or woman shall separate themselves. The reason why he's specific in verse 5 about the guy not letting a razor come upon his head was because people knew that the men would cut their hair and the women wouldn't. So when it comes to verse 5, it's like, yeah, you know, with it says his head, it's specific to the guy because of the fact, because either man or woman can do that Nazirite vow, but when it comes to women, they're going to let their hair grow. That's not really an issue. But it's saying for this specific situation, if you make that Nazirite vow, as a guy, you let your hair grow. Why would he have to say that? Because it was normal for guys to have short hair. Okay, very simply. Okay. Until the days be fulfilled, the Bible says. Now, I want you to understand something, that it doesn't just say let his hair grow. It also says don't eat any grapes or grape juice or wine or any of those things. Now, let me ask you a question. Guys that have long hair, do you think they just avoid eating grapes and grape juice and wine? Because like people that are like various Christians will have these stupid excuses. Well, I'm just making a Nazirite vow, you know? It's like Samson did. I can do a Nazirite vow if I want to. Well, do you ever eat grapes? I mean, do you ever drink grape juice? And look, most guys that make Nazirite vows to grow out their hair, they also drink alcohol pretty regularly too. So like, don't tell me you're doing a Nazirite vow. It's like, come on, that's ridiculous, okay? And so turn to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. And so let's look at what it says about Samson. Judges 13. Judges chapter 13, verse 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazirite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Verse 7, but he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. Now, obviously, it's wrong for anybody to drink strong drink or alcohol, but he's very specific with his Nazirite vow. The Bible's saying that, especially if you're doing a Nazirite vow, you better make sure you're not drinking any alcohol, okay? And then he says, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazirite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And so, yes, you know what? Samson did have long hair. We're familiar with that story, okay? He had that specific Nazirite vow, and the reason why it's a specific vow is because normally guys would have short hair, okay? But people use this story and they say, well, see, then Jesus had long hair. Because they say that he was, you know, Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, well, hold on a second. It said a Nazirite vow. Okay, a vow, you're basically making a promise to God. Okay, a Nazirite vow. Now turn in your Bible to Matthew 2. Matthew 2. Because look, Jesus had short hair. He did not have long hair. And this is not really a debatable topic in the Bible. And the only reason why people think he had long hair is because they see an image of Jesus that people have painted, and they think, well, that's Jesus Christ. And look, it's annoying when people show our Lord and Savior as a weak little sissy.
Right.
It's like they draw an image of him and he looks like a sodomite. He looks feminine in the photos. He's got long hair. He looks like a woman in those photos. And look, you know, are we really going to trust, you know, some Italian artist from hundreds of years ago that nobody knows anything about? Of drawing a painting, you say, well, that must be, you know, what he looked like. It's like, good night, man. Do you know how weird those Renaissance artists are?
Right.
Look, I've been to the Louvre before in France. It's very famous in I believe it's in Paris. And, you know, other people here, you know, have been to Europe before. I don't know. Have you ever been to the Louvre before, Brother Mateus? No? I was at the Louvre when I was like 14 years old. We were on a soccer trip. And it's like this big art museum. And you're looking at all these different, like, magnificent pieces of art, as they say. And you got to cover your eyes sometimes because you see statues of just these naked guys. And it's like, why are all these male artists drawing all these naked statues all the time? It's like, what in the world? It's like, you're really going to trust those Renaissance artists that just have this obsession with drawing like naked men all the time in their statues? And it's like, I remember I was in front of the Mona Lisa. I'm assuming people know about the Mona Lisa. It's like the most famous painting in the world. And I was amazed when I was in front of the Mona Lisa at how unimpressive it was. I was like, this is like the biggest joke. It's like, you got to be kidding me. It's like just a random painting that people have in their house of like the trees and the forest looks a million times better than the Mona Lisa. And it's just like this small painting and everybody's crowded around because it's the Mona Lisa. This is Da Vinci's greatest work. And I'm looking at it, this is like garbage. Like, this is terrible. And you know what they say about the Mona Lisa? There's a different opinions about it, but a lot of people think that he was basically drawing himself wearing long hair, drawing himself in drag. That's what a lot of people think. Because if you look at the painting, it looks like a guy. I mean, it really doesn't look like this, you know, it's like, you know, why? That's what a lot of people think. And I'm not even just talking about Bible-believing Christians, just the normal public. A lot of people say, you know, he's just drawing himself in drag. And let me tell you something, having seen it in person, I don't doubt that. I mean, it's like very unimpressive. Okay, if you learn anything from the sermon, don't go to the Louvre if you're ever in France. I mean, it's garbage. It's terrible. It's like, good night. And I'll say this, there were some nice paintings, but I mean, a lot of them, I'm just like, man, it's just like, why would any normal guy want to draw these weird, disgusting things? Well, look, it's just a fact that a lot of the Renaissance artists were sodomites.
Right.
And so are you really going to trust the drawing from some Renaissance sodomite that was beloved by the world, his painting? Would you trust the drawing of Vice Pangit of Jesus? It's like, no. Okay, obviously. So look, these paintings you see of Jesus, that's not what Jesus looked like, okay? It's always interesting when you see paintings of Jesus, because go to Mexico and Jesus looks like a Mexican. Go to Africa and the paintings of Jesus, he looks like a black man. You go to America and he looks like a Mormon, right? He looks white. It's like every country you go, it's like he looks like, it's like, look, you know, Jesus wasn't born in America. It's like, why would you think he looked like that? But they say, well, he had a long hair because he was a Nazarite. Well, notice what it says in Matthew 2. Matthew 2. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. It was weird because like when I was there, I was like, I should be impressed by these paintings, but I was like, I'm just not impressed. Like maybe I'm not artistic enough. I don't know, but I was like, this is terrible, okay? Matthew 2, verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And so this is the story of Jesus being protected from dangerous situation. But I want you to notice verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Does that say he took a Nazarite vow? It says that he dwelt in a city called Nazareth. That doesn't mean that everybody in the city took the Nazarite vow. Very few would take the Nazarite vow. And look, he dwelt in that city. I mean, like, yeah, he was there for a time period in Nazareth. Okay? It's like, that doesn't mean they took the Nazarite vow. It'd be like saying, you know, I took some Filipino vow or some American vow. Just because you live in an area doesn't mean you take that vow. So saying, well, Jesus of Nazareth, well, yeah, you know, he shall be called a Nazarene. He dwelt in Nazareth. That does not mean that he took the Nazarite vow. And so there's no verse in the Bible that would indicate that he had long hair.
Right.
There's no verse that would indicate he had long hair. Let me just speak to you logically. Especially with the jobs people used to have, it would be dangerous for guys to have long hair a lot of times. Why? Because when you're working with machinery and tools, look, I'm sure after the first guy died because his hair got caught in the machine, then guys would quit having long hair. You say, why? It would have been dangerous for a guy to have long hair. It wouldn't make sense, you know, when you're trying to work and then your hair keeps getting in the way and you're just like, you know, what in the world? It's like that wouldn't be very smart. You know, I know I'm going to a lot of rabbit shows. I remember there was this guy, and I don't watch UFC fights, but, you know, I used to watch some UFC fights, and there was this fighter who just had long hair. And so as he's fighting, he would always just be like this, like every 20 seconds, because the hair was getting in the way of his eyes. And it's just like, man, that's really stupid. It's like the best training you can do is just shave your head. It's like, but he'd just be fighting, and then he's just like this, like just getting the hair out of it. It's like, what in the world are you doing? It's just like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Look, it just wouldn't logically make sense for guys to have super long hair. I understand in today's world, it is easier for guys to get their hair cut. So I'm not saying that every guy every 2 weeks cut his hair, because it would be difficult. But let me tell you something. Guys would not just grow out their hair for 6 months, 8 months, a year. They would cut their hair. That's throughout the Bible. And the only thing you see is a specific Nazirite vow. It does not say Jesus took that Nazirite vow. But here's the thing about this. Even if Jesus did take that Nazirite vow, that would still be a rare situation. It wouldn't be, well, everybody has long hair because Jesus took that vow. No, I mean, it's a specific situation of someone not eating any grapes or grape juice or wine and having long hair. That wouldn't mean everybody would do it. But Jesus had short hair because he had no sin and he would just follow what the Bible says. And look, nature teaches you guys have short hair and women have long hair. So the last objection people have is this: how long is long? Women have long hair. Men have short hair. And look, I've heard this. This is actually the most common argument. Jesus having long hair is up there. And then, well, how long is long? And so they say, well, see, you know, here's the thing about this. You know, how long's long? So just whatever hair length you want. Well, here's the thing about this. I can look at every single person in this room. If I were just to look at, let me explain something to you. I am without contacts or glasses legally blind. Like, I can't see at all. I couldn't function without them. There's a few people in this room that have seen my glasses. I am very blind. Is that not true? I'm extremely blind without wearing contacts. When I do not have my contacts, I would not be able to recognize anybody in this room. Not a single person would I be able to recognize from right here. But you know what? I would be able to correctly identify who's male and female because I can still see colors. Okay? And I would be able to tell how long your hair is, even without contacts in, when I can't see anything. I would be like this trying to read this sermon. I wouldn't be able to see anything, but I would be able to tell if you're a male or a female because I can see colors and I would be able to see who has long hair and who has short hair. You say, why? Because that's just normal for guys to have short hair, women to have long hair. And look, I want you to understand what the Bible's showing you is this: there's short, there's long. It doesn't mention medium. This is not a restaurant where there's small, large, and medium. What the Bible's saying is no medium. Long or short. So basically, there's this gray area where neither men nor women should get. If this represents long hair, make sure you stay so nobody's going to question it. And look, I wouldn't question any lady in this room of your hair length. Every single one has long hair. And for guys, short hair. How short is short? Short enough that people aren't going to question it. That there's no doubt when people look at you, hey, it's a guy. It's a man. There's no question. There's people in this room that have shorter hair than me, but is there any question today that my hair looks like a man's haircut, that it's short? There's no question. There's no question with the other guys in this room either. So basically, the gray area, just don't go to the gray area. Don't get near to the place where is this acceptable or not. No, God said women have long hair, men have short. Nobody has medium hair. Just make it very obvious, you know, what is long and what is short. So look, 1 Corinthians 11 is actually very clear. There's really no debate in 1 Corinthians 11. God says, now what people like to argue is, well, I don't understand why. Well, it doesn't matter why you understand that or not, or if you understand that. The Bible says by nature. This is part of your nature that it's normal for guys to have short hair. It's normal for women to have long hair. And nobody has medium. You say, why are you preaching this sermon? Because we preach everything in the Bible. Amen. And every single thing matters to God. Now, the inward matters more than the outward. And that is why if you've been at our church since the beginning, I haven't preached on the outward that much. This series has been kind of the first one because I'm trying to preach everything through the Bible. And 95% of the sermons are focused on the inside and the heart and those things because we all need those sermons. But you know, we also need the outward as well because Jesus never said the outward doesn't matter. What he told the Pharisees is, hey, you know, clean up the inward and it will clean up the outward. But what he told them was the outward they were doing, you're right about those things. Yeah, do tithe on those things. Do those things like you're saying, but the inward's more important. But the outward still does matter. You say, why? Well, look, man looketh on the outward appearance. That's just the way it is. People form impressions based on the outward appearance, and so you better make sure the outward appearance is okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today. I ask you to help us to apply the sermon to our lives. I know that, you know, this is pretty common knowledge to all of us, but hopefully some of these verses, maybe some new information. Help us to understand, you know, why we believe everything in the Bible. That if somebody were to ask us, you know, that has an honest, sincere question, we could show them from the Bible what 1 Corinthians 11 says. We could answer any objections they have and just show them that it's biblical and just that this is just part of our human nature, that men have short hair and women have long hair. And we do it to honor you and to represent you. This is how you created us. This is how you made us. This doesn't make men better than women or women better than men. It just makes us different, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.